What comes after death? Well, apparently, comics. Hi, my name is Marco and welcome to another episode of the Storyline Sessions podcast. This week, my guest is ADC. You might know them by their work on After Death Comics. You can find it all around the internet, but one of the platforms that you're most likely to get familiar with it is Instagram, where they have more than 60,000 followers. 80s comics are a great blend of genres, with comedy and horror taking their turns in the spotlight. We had a fun chat about the recent Horror Wing comic series, the specifics of creating webcomics, writing jokes that land, and horror that works. We also had a great discussion about long-form content plans, game development, as well as many more interesting topics. So grab something to drink, get comfortable, and let's get into this week's storyline session with ADC of the After Death Comics. Enjoy! Hi AD, welcome to Storyline Sessions, how are you?
I'm doing great, thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure. Maybe we could start off with some of the most recent happenings. We've just finished up, as the time of the recording, Halloween and your Horrorween series for this year. So maybe we could get a bit into that. How was the reception this year? You're doing it for how long? Like 4 years now?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure this is my fourth year. Yeah, the reception was great. It's always a little bit nerve-wracking because I feel like there's a large expectation that there's always like some twist at the end. These little clues or hints of what like the overarching theme is will be present throughout most of the comics. And yeah, sometimes I just find that it's a little difficult to balance between managing that expectation but not getting so abstract that no one kind of understands what's going on. Mm-hmm. But I think this year I found like a nice balance between the two. So I'm pretty happy with it.
Yeah, and it's been really fun. I think that what you mentioned, like striking the balance, people seem to be enjoying looking for clues. And that's also really interesting to me. And I think that like when you do have some like themes and plots that maybe connect, maybe don't, for some people who are exploring that, we'll leave that to imagination. Because as you said, you leave it to people's interpretation. But when you think about like as a difference from your usual comics, does this maybe serve as a one step closer to some more long form stuff for you, or is it something you're content with, like doing it this way?
I've always wanted to do long form comics. One of my greatest weaknesses is actually writing a long form story. So something that spans like longer than 10 panels is a real struggle for me. It's finding that strange balance between keeping the reader's attention, especially in today's media formats, but also developing a kind of bigger narrative that's just not contained within a few panels. So I really like the approach of creating kind of almost like an anthology with like a hidden plot line that follows throughout most of the stories. And it is something I'm going to explore in some of my other comics that's not horror related.
Speaking of that, not horror related, I think that's one of the key things that's maybe on one hand appealing about your style, and on the other hand really interesting when you look a bit deeper through your content, is really a mix of a lot of stuff, but like it's horror that's forefront in some ways, but on the others it's comedy mixed with all kinds of stuff. Maybe we'll delve into a bunch of that later. But what was your first thing, like the name of your comics, After Death Comics, alludes to that of a maybe more darker, sinister side, but what was like the basis for you, and how do you see other genres working in their way into your work?
The actual name of my, I guess like my Instagram account, which is just After Death Comics, started because I wanted to make a comic series about ghosts living like, I guess like their afterlife and the just like kind of funny shenanigans that ghosts can get up to with like the living. But it turns out I didn't have more ideas than like three comics. So after like the three comics that I made, I think I only posted maybe one or two of them in the early days. I started to make just any kind of comic that came to mind. But the name just kind of stuck because I didn't have a better idea for a name. And at that time, I had like a few followers. And to me, that was like a lot. So I thought, oh, I can't change my name now. There's too many people that already know me. But yeah, so everything was rooted in doing humor and comedy. And from there on, that's when I started to really look into like different types of comics. And I found that there is a certain way that I read comics and interpret them that I thought, oh, this could be translated into like a different genre. It's something that I do a lot, especially when I read other people's comics, even if they're like absolutely fantastic. And it's not to take away any merit of their own work, but sometimes I see it and I would think to myself, how would I have written this joke differently? Or like, I would see like a little nugget of like the idea that maybe sparked the comic, and I would try to take that in a different way. Like, I would go, oh, that's a really funny comic, but I think this would be better as like a horror comic or like something more dramatic. So that's something I've started exploring more with some of my comics, specifically comics that make people feel very sad or have a sense of longing. I have some some comics, I guess, relatively recently that has evoked those kind of feelings. And those stem from what I thought was like a funny idea to begin with. I would just kind of explore it in a different direction and found it was actually maybe more heartfelt than funny.
And how does that process look like? Do you like write down some nuggets? As you said, you see this and you're feeling like you maybe could push it in another way. Do you have like something planned out for like a few months, weeks, whatever in advance? Or how do you work?
I like to call it work, but really it's procrastination. I would just scroll through different social media platforms like Instagram or Reddit or Webtoons and just like read other people's stuff. I'll even scroll through the news, and occasionally I'll see something that I think is like kind of funny or kind of unique as a core concept and write it down. An example would be like maybe I see like a short video where there's like a flashing light outside of someone's window at night, and I think, oh, that's like, the video could be the rest of the video or contextually could be unrelated to my thought, but I would see that and I would think, oh, that's like a interesting concept for like maybe a horror comic, like flashing lights outside of someone's window. And it's rooted in like a lot of classic horror tropes, like especially alien related stuff, where like the classic light flashes through the farmhouse window in the middle of the night. But I would take like those little things that make my imagination really run wild, and I would write it down, and maybe I would leave it somewhere on like my desk for like a few months, and I'll look back at it, and like if I still feel like it's something that invokes a lot of imagination, or like it has a great creative space to like just play around with that idea, then maybe I would start to put more effort into constructing a story or a comic around that core concept.
Yeah, that makes sense. But how does like constructing a story in this format work for you? Because it's for me, one of the things that I really was excited to talk about is the difference between some of the other guests I had on the show who are writing in different forms, but more of a longer form, and especially without the visual aspect, which we'll also get into. But when you think about wanting to tell a story as it is and as we perceive it. When you read your comics, you do get the feeling that it's a story, but how do you handle the challenge of like putting it all in such a confined space, especially one of your main platforms is Instagram, and like grasping the core of the story, putting it in such a short form? Do you have experience with some other types of writing, and if you would like to maybe go into your background as a whole and maybe go on from there?
I actually went to university for English, so I studied literature, and one of my favorite courses is usually when they cover short stories. Probably because I am really bad with long story formats, but also it probably stems from my laziness, because I feel, oh, a short story, I could write that. That's like less work than writing, like, let's say a 300-page story. I could like write 5 pages and that would be good enough. And that's something I really find my strength in. And I guess when you talk about putting stories into a comic format, especially when it has to be short for like social media, I find that you do have to remove a lot of things. You have to cut away at like your story until it kind of fits just in like 4 panels or 6 or however many panels that you can fit on like your platform. And I guess it's important to, well, I find it important when I do the process to kind of keep in mind what I want the feeling to be. And even if I have like something really clever or like something I think is really fantastic, if I have to cut it away just to like fit into the format, just to keep the core feeling, then that's just like one of those tough choices you have to make. And maybe that helps in how audiences read the comic, because they're not so distracted with the details. They're more invested in just that feeling, and then they can pull in their own experience to fill in those details that would be missing from that story that I, as the creator, would have not put in.
Thinking about that, I wonder if, as you're like making these types of comics with some different teams, but in this way on this platform for a while now, have you developed like a feeling of what can and what can't become a story that you want it to be? And how do you like filter out your ideas? Because you're pretty productive, especially when you have these series like this one for the spooky season. And how do you like split some ideas that have potential from those that you're like, this could be fun, and they go nowhere? Because I guess it's kind of a, especially now when people do demand kind of a constant upload and constant stream of content, how do you deal with that?
I would like to say that I know what my readers want, but there are definitely a lot of comics where they don't do as well. Especially when I think like, oh, this is great. Like, I personally enjoy it. It's one of my favorite ones. But when it gets released, it's like, oh, it's an okay comic. At least that's the reception that I would get. But I think that's okay. I think it's okay to not know exactly what your readers want. Part of it is you get a feeling for what the general public wants, but then you also really get in tune with what your hardcore fans want. Something I find is when I do horror comics, especially for Halloween throughout October, I generally lose like quite a few followers.
Oh, really?
And yeah, I've come to accept that. Like, the comics in general, they do okay. But what I really get are hardcore fans. People really get invested into it. They make it part of their, like, I guess, daily routine to, like, read the comic as soon as it's up. And, like, they just put so much of their attention and effort into it. And it's the kind of thing that you would never get in, like, a more generic comic that pleases like a lot of people. And I think it's finding that kind of weird balance as a creator, where it's like, do I want to make something that some people will really, really love, or do I want to make something that a lot of people would like but not care too much down the line. And sometimes I don't find the right balance and nobody likes it. But sometimes I do find a balance and it works out well, and a lot of people do. But I'd like to say I have an idea of what people like, but in reality, I just never know how it's gonna do.
And does it get tempting? Sometimes you see something's going well, but you say you have like your favorites, and how do you balance that desire to like still keep the fan base and have people coming back, but still making it your own thing? Because I can imagine that can become tough, especially with an ever increasing number of creative people wanting to do that, and like you have a distinct style, but is it sometimes like difficult to keep at it? For example, the Horror Win series, when you started losing fans, how did that feel at first?
It felt not great. I felt like I was going in the wrong direction, especially the first 2 years. I lost maybe like a few thousand followers at those times, and at that time that was like a lot. I did gain some followers as well, but it was like a drop that I wasn't sure if like it was something I wanted to continue doing. But it didn't matter in the end, because I just had like so much support from my readers who enjoyed it. And I think on average, like, I would have, like, my Halloween comics have, like, the most comments on it. And I think that shows more interaction and love for my work than I would get from my other comics. I can make comics that make people laugh or, like, feel good about the day, but that takes maybe a few seconds or like a few minutes out of their life. But the fact that some people were willing to like spend hours reading my comics again and again throughout like the whole month wasn't something I really expected. I didn't expect people to get so invested, but I think that people who are willing to do that are like maybe some of the best fans that you can get. Maybe those are the audience members that I would want, because they're less likely to leave because they don't find my comics funny anymore. And they're generally more patient because I guess they have something to look forward to every year. So in terms of, in a business sense, those are the best fans that you want for your career. They probably are more likely to give you money through like Patreon, or if I ever release this as a book, I know that there is a good amount of people who are willing to buy it. But if I release the book filled with my funny comics, it's very hard to gauge whether or not people will actually buy it, because people may not be so invested in those comics, because I make funny comics, but a lot of people make funny comics, and I would like to say a lot of people make better funny comics than I do. So why would you buy my book?
Yeah, that, when you said the word business, I guess that's like also an aspect of it that's interesting to me, because you're basically a one-person show where you have to deal with the social media aspect of it, handling the community as a whole, handling the platforms, Patreon, as you mentioned, thinking about publishing, but also do the creative part as well. And I think that's something that's maybe increasingly so prevalent in especially in the space where you're like not like a name who has something traditionally published behind them. And how's that been for you? Has it been something that's like you're hoping to at one point let's say delegate or outsource, or do you feel that's something that's really helping you be in touch with your audience and provide them something even more meaningful?
That's a good question. I'm not good at business. I have come to accept that. I have made many choices where I know would not be financially beneficial for me, for my career as a comic artist. Well, I guess to begin with, if you choose to be a comic artist, maybe you're not really there for the pursuit of money. But I have made a lot of choices that would be very questionable from a business stance. If I could delegate that to someone who it was better at business, that'd be great. But I guess it would be whether or not that person understands the limits of what I'd be willing to do, or like the, I guess, the integrity of how I like to present my work. I know that I could be more popular if I made more wholesome, relatable comics. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I love reading them. I read like maybe hundreds like every week, but that's definitely not something I enjoy making. But I guess from a business point of view, I should make them. I get more followers, and then I could trick them into reading my horror comic every year, and then lose like maybe more followers, but build them back up with more wholesome comics. But yeah, working as just yourself, there are a lot of things that maybe people don't realize when they set out to become one of these independent like comic artists, or like even if you just want to do anything on a social media platform, you probably won't have the money to pay for someone to do all the things that you're bad at. And if you do, you will probably not make a profit for a very long time, if ever. And it's rough because there's a lot of things I had to learn. And there were definitely some sacrifices that I have to have made just to like figure out like, okay, I have to do this because it makes sense business-wise. Regardless of how much I hate doing this, I have taken like, I think one sponsorship before, and I kind of regret it. But it's one of those decisions where it's like, I have to see where it goes, even if I don't like it. And if it turns out to be something that could like be financially stable, then that's just something I have to do.
Yeah, and at this point, I can imagine like you do get approached for those types of content, like sponsorships and stuff like that, because of the size of your base now. And juggling that and like the crowdfunded aspect of it, let's call it that, like Patreon and things like having your own merch, prints. How do you think that's changed over the years? I mean, like we've seen a great rise of Kickstarter for more creative stuff opposed to like products as a thing, and like Patreon and other possibilities of people just like supporting your work. Do you think we're heading in a good direction with that?
I think so. I find it interesting only because I don't think I have a very good or strong relationship with my community, only in the sense that I don't communicate with them as much as I feel I should. And this is especially true with my patrons. I really only post up like comics up there early, and like a monthly update, and like maybe some like exclusive artworks or comics. But I've seen like other people's Patreon accounts, and I see so much more interaction with them. And I think that there's like two types of people who support these type of like people on Patreon. One is the one who just supports them for their work, regardless of what kind of person they are, and the other is the patrons who support the patrons because they like the artist. They definitely also like the work, but it's more so there is a persona or a personality that's attached to the work that they also are involved with. And I feel I definitely on purpose have removed me as an artist from my work based on philosophical principles. But aside from that, I definitely don't interact with my patrons as much, or even like my followers or audience as much as other creators do. And that is like, I would say, a bad business decision. You definitely would get more people who are willing to give their hard-earned money to you, to support you, if they felt like they knew you as a creator. Yeah, I'm very fortunate that I have patrons that almost do not care who I am. They more so care about my work, which is fantastic because I don't like interacting with people that much. It makes it easier on me. But definitely the way that the definitely how people are funding their work now through Patreon and Kickstarter. I feel a lot of it is based on personality and charisma of the artists or creators, and the success of it is more so how hardcore your fan base is. The conversion rate of like how big your audience is to the people who actually are willing to pay is so small, and the only people who would really shell out a lot of money are hardcore fans, and the best way to build those hardcore fan bases is to interact with them on a personal level.
Do you feel that could change with like maybe a possible release of some longer form or like a book that ties in all of your thematic comics and stuff like that? Do you see yourself in the near or distant future becoming somewhat of a more of a public figure, or you would prefer to keep it the way as it is, like to be distant from like your personality opposed to the work that you put out?
I definitely would like to be distant from my work. It's not that I don't like my work or that I don't want people to know me. I think I just really hate the idea that my opinions or what I interpret things could influence how someone else interprets my work. I guess a good example is the horror comics, especially Halloween. I never like a comment that has any theory in it or points out a clue in it, and I never suggest anything otherwise of what they're missing or what the story could be about. I think that my opinions shouldn't matter, especially in an interpretation of a work, and that whatever you come up with is just as valid as what I think the story is about. Because if, let's say, arrogantly, my comics last like 100 years from now, and like someone reads them, they would probably interpret the comic much differently than they would today. And based on like your background and like how you've lived your life and all your experiences, that goes into like everything that you interpret. And I find it so strange that someone would go up to you and say, no, that's wrong, this is what it's really about, and maybe rob you of that experience that you had. So I really dislike that idea. So I do like distancing myself from my work because it makes it easier for people to come up with their own conclusion or stories and feel what they feel based on whatever they interpret.
Yeah, that also makes sense. When you talk about like distancing like the persona and the stuff that you are passionate about, the stuff that you maybe have a strong opinion on, but we can also maybe that's an interpretation as well. But like we can see some of like current events, not just like now, but over the time that has passed as you've developed your work and your page on Instagram, the things that are current dealing with some huge companies, some things that are happening in the world at the moment. And do you think that's kind of a boundary you're like comfortable with, like sometimes just kind of mentioning things that are happening, and if people want to expand on it, so be it? Or do you think that maybe as time progresses, you're maybe more thinking about putting some stuff that's closer to you into your comics?
I think that if I put something very personal into a comic, it would either be to just evoke a universal feeling of something. Like if, let's say, I put in a comic about perhaps one of my pets dying, then obviously it's a very personal thing, but it's the sense of loss for something that you love that's not necessarily human is a very universal feeling. And it doesn't necessarily have to be specific. If you do comics about like corporations doing whatever horrible thing, I think one of my comics is a good example is Disney is very litigious and very fierce about keeping their copyright. Even if later down the line Disney changes like how they feel, the core concept is very true. There will always be some big company with a lot of IPs or trademarks that they hold, and they're very strict on who gets to use their trademark characters and who doesn't. And I find those comics translate better in terms of through different cultures or like through different time periods.
Yeah, and yeah, I think that that shows, and I think that people do respond to it. For me, one of the interesting themes that we've seen in more than a few of your comics is AI and its relation to people as a whole, but also to art. And there are quite a few notable examples I really like. The ones about the AI that's having an existential crisis, and we do have like a robot who's speaking about becoming an artist. You have a comic about deep fakes, and as an artist, I think that's been a more than prevalent topic in the community for the past, let's say, a year, maybe more, maybe even more. And seeing a lot of people on one hand turn to AI as a crutch, or maybe just as a tool that helps them get out work more quickly, and on the other, we do have people who feel really strongly about that and who are completely against it. So could you maybe tell us, where do you stand on the topic of AI and art?
I think it is just like any new tool or technology that becomes prevalent in our daily life, there will definitely be people who use it to kind of put up the lowest quality work to game the system and get as much out of it as they can, whether it be money, attention, or self-satisfaction. But on the other hand, there will also be people who will use it in the most creative ways possible and push like the medium of art in a direction that would not have been possible without it. I don't think it's a bad thing. Obviously, there will be bad things that come out of it, but alternatively, you can't deny that there will be good things that come out of it either. At this point, there's nothing we could do about it. It's going to be a thing. The temptation is too large, and regardless of what issues that people have, whether it be like copyright issues or the ethical uses of AI, it can't be, well, it's essentially the genie's out of the bottle. You can't put it back in. We know the technology is out there, and if you don't use it, someone else will use it. And it's just how life is. And you just kind of have to accept it, whether or not you implement it into your workflow or you don't. I don't think it takes away from the fact that you still need to have the ability to capture an audience, whether it be on your own term or whether you use like an algorithm of some kind to like figure out what people precisely want and target them. One is probably more effective than the other, but at the same time, you have people already doing that now. The only difference is that they'll be more efficient at it.
Yeah, I think that's the thing, like just how we use it. And I agree, I think that's something that's not even more of a question. Is it going to be here to stay? It already is, but as we adapt to it, I think that people will kind of take a step back and see that it's not all that bad, even though it sometimes looks almost apocalyptic. But I don't think that's necessarily the case. And but of the misuse generally, I think that people do tend to talk about the side of the plagiarism things and maybe utilizing styles of authors such as yourself without crediting them. But is that happened like more in a more direct way before? Have you as I think that like comic book creators and people who are visual artists, more than other types of artists and creators, do tend to get their work stolen, reposted without their approval, and maybe even used to create some stuff that's being sold as merch, as prints, without their permission. And have you dealt with that, and how you do deal with it?
This is actually kind of funny. I do see a lot of my friends' stuff gets stolen or reposted without their credit. But I don't really see a lot of my stuff. And to a point where I feel almost insulted. Is like my stuff not good enough to steal? Maybe that's the case. I don't really come across my stuff that much being reposted or stolen or like my artwork being out there. And I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing. I don't know.
We can create a title of this. Please, people, steal my stuff more.
I, at this point, would not mind that much. Not saying that you should, but a part of it is it kind of hurts a little bit. Like, if you live in a nice neighborhood and everyone's home but yours gets broken into and the stuff stolen, you really start to question, like, am I a lot worse than my neighbors?
Yeah, that really is a good analogy. And you mentioned your friends. You do have some people in the community you're friends with, and I can imagine like you do bounce around ideas, things like that. And I've also seen you've done some collaborations. And could you maybe talk us through it? How does exactly like collaborating on a comic work? How's the process? Like, do you get an idea from one side and maybe suggest to somebody whose style you think would fit, or how does that work for you?
I think a part of it is making concessions. some of my collabs, I really enjoy doing them, but they're definitely not a type of comic I would make myself. And that's probably good that I do those collabs because it kind of forces me to do something different. And they generally do very well. But it's, again, it's definitely not something I could have or would have done by myself. So for me personally I do have to hold myself back so it just doesn't become my comic with someone else. It generally has to be more of like a closer, I try to make more of a 50-50. They have to have just as many ideas or input in like how it ends up being, even if I don't agree how the punchline ends up, I have to kind of hold myself back and go, okay, but that's funny to them. It may not be as funny to me, but not everyone finds things funny the way that I do.
Yeah, and sure. Usually, I mean, that's subjective.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, if only everyone had my sense of humor, I'd be so successful. But yeah, so usually it's kind of a collaborative work on how the jokes and like the panels are set up, and then usually we decide on who draws. Sometimes one person will draw the entire thing. It depends on schedules, and also sometimes we just may it's sometimes an unspoken thing, like you're gonna draw the thing, or like we're gonna draw it in this style because you have a stronger art background, or this would look better in your style.
Yeah, I can imagine. But do you sometimes like have an issue with like maybe letting go of creative control in that sense? Do you feel sometimes like you would prefer something but you can't make it feel that way? Or maybe is it something that you're like, okay, I'm doing all the stuff that I want in my comics, and this way we can maybe just create something that wouldn't appear otherwise?
It's a little bit of both. I think I am a little bit of a control freak when it comes to the creative process if I'm involved in it. But I think knowing that, I have to realize this is a collaborative effort. And if I want to have full control of something, I could just put that effort into my own stuff. So it's definitely a good opportunity, as you said, to explore something that I would have never made otherwise, in which I've always appreciated in the end once it's done, because I always learn something when collaborating with other people.
Speaking of things that you usually wouldn't make, like as we've covered, one of the main things for you is the humor part, and on the other hand you do have some like horror stuff, maybe some fantasy stuff in some points. But is there something that you would like to make at some point, something that's appealing to you and you think you could do well but you haven't tried for one or other reason on your platform? Like it doesn't have to be a genre, but some type of comics or other types of art that you still haven't like published for the world to see?
Definitely romance comics. I love reading romance, as weird as that may sound, but I absolutely love it. And I especially love the trashy kinds where you look at a character and you go, I know exactly what type of character this is. It's, I think a lot of it, it's like a comfort read for me. But with just enough drama where you go like, oh, I really hope they get together, or like, oh no, they introduced this character, he's going to mess everything up. yeah, I really love those type of comics, and that's something I'd love to do. But I know that the social media platform I have is not good for a long story format. You would definitely have to have people read it over a long period of time, or have them binge the entire thing. And the only real way of making that accessible is like to only post that comic, so it's easier for people to go through them. And that's just not something I have time for, especially right now. Maybe near the end of what I feel is my career, I'll like just switch over to romance and force all my readers to read it or leave.
Yeah, that's something that's unexpected. I, from all the things that you could have said, I think that would be near the bottom of my list. So it's really interesting. But one of the influences that does appear that was kind of a noticeable thing for me as fantasy, or let's say a gaming side, you do have like a series of comics about the dungeons and the monsters and things like that. And does that like show some of your influences, which may lie in some fantasy novels, maybe in gaming or maybe tabletop gaming? What's the perspective on that?
I love games. I love like all types of games, whether it be board games or video games. I'll even take like rock, paper, scissor if I have nothing else. But I just love the aspect of games in general. And that definitely does show in more of my fantasy-esque comics. I find that a lot of people really love games, especially like video games, even if they don't know they do. It's like saying, I don't like movies. I don't think that's necessarily true. I think it just means you haven't found the right movie. And I find that the comics that do usually involve like some very real world, I guess, mechanics, like microtransactions or stuff like that, which we slowly find creeping into our games. And I like to mix that in with like fantasy settings, because I think that's really funny, taking like modern day business tactics and like mixing it into kind of like a fantasy setting, like playing Dungeons and Dragons, but the only thing your players do is like fantasize about buying a house in town because it's affordable in this fantasy world.
Yeah, I think that's interesting, and I think that it suits your format well. But did you at some point consider, would you consider like delving into some let's say into the gaming space, or in any shape or way? Would you like maybe want to get into the art side of stuff, or maybe could you imagine some of your comics turning into a game at some point? Does it something that's kind of appealing to you, or are you just more of a person who enjoys the form, but you don't see yourself creating for it?
I actually have worked on a few video games before.
Oh.
For myself and for other people. I have done both the programming side and the art side. And it is really, really hard. anyone trying to get into like making their own video games probably will understand very quickly just how much there is to do. And personally, maybe one day I would like to make a game myself, but I know that's maybe like a 10 to 15 year endeavor. And I love video games. I love how it's made. It definitely does influence how I write some of my comics. And if I were to ever go back into video games, I think I would take a lot of what I learned from writing to shape, like, the, I guess, the actual game itself, to subvert expectations or, like, set up things. So there's, like, a really big or nice payoff for the gamers themselves who are playing it.
Yeah, and I can imagine that being a huge deal, because, you know, when you see how people are assessing the scopes of the games and, like, working on different sides of both the art and the coding part, and when you think about that you've already experienced some of it, I can imagine that that can be off-putting when you have to put all the time in it. But maybe we could hope for an adaptation where some of the, some other people who are maybe fans of your work could put some of your comics into their games. Do you maybe know some of the titles you worked on, or do you want to keep it as something behind your pen name?
Oh, well, they never made it to be published.
Oh.
I would like to say it's not my fault, but it's definitely not my fault. Most games don't actually ever make it to a finished state or even a playable state, which is the sad fact of most indie games. And I've worked on 3 different indie games at this point.
And what are some indie games that inspire you? Maybe something that ties in well with your work. What have you, like, played recently that you could maybe recommend?
It won't be recent, but I would say Stardew Valley definitely influences some of my comics, especially my horror comics. Some people may not know, but there is, like, a slight horror aspect to Stardew Valley. And I really enjoy those kind of things where there's just, like, a slight unsettling thing about something that seems so innocuous or, like, innocent.
Yeah, for me, that's interesting. Sorry to interrupt.
Yeah, but, yeah.
Like, I've done last week, actually, I put out a solo episode talking about, like, the spooky stuff invading other types of media, and people who actually, like, as you said, they think they don't like video games, and in this case, the people who think they don't like horror. And I talked about, like, a lot of spooky stuff in the season people do enjoy it, and when it's put in their games, like, you know, like The Sims or whatever, and people do gravitate towards that, but they say they don't like horror. So it's kind of interesting to see.
Yeah, it's definitely true. People who say they don't like horror just haven't found the right kind of space to explore it, even if you have a very low tolerance for it.
Yeah, exactly. And when we're, like, when we're talking about influences, you said, like, even Stardew Valley could be found in some of your horror comics. And what are some other types of works that do seep into your work? I mean, not just, like, style-wise, but generally, what does influence you when you see it, like, oh, this could work perfectly? What are some, maybe, as we discussed, you are into romance, that's unexpected. What are some more, like, unexpected influences that we wouldn't connect necessarily to the type of comics you do, but it does work?
I guess that's a very hard question to answer. It's just essentially whatever I find in my daily life that I for some reason just latch onto, like, a very specific thing. Sometimes I have, well, I guess maybe it's not a healthy thing, but I have constant nightmares, and usually that's, like, a good source of some of my horror comics. I think this past Halloween had, like, 2 or 3 comics that were nightmares that I've had that I've written down after I woke up, and I thought, oh, this is good. And maybe I shouldn't call it nightmare, but just my brain is working overtime. But I do find a lot of influences in just essentially any media I consume, and I try to consume as many different types of media as I can, mainly to understand why people like some things, and usually that also ends up with me being really invested in it and enjoying it too. And it's good to kind of pick at like certain things, like certain shows or comics that you read where you go like, oh, why do I like this so much? What would happen if like some of these elements weren't in it? Would I still like it? Would the pacing be different? Do I feel like this is a little bit too slow? Like, it's always good to think about why you like a certain thing that you're consuming and try to figure out what makes you tick and how you respond to specific media. And ideally, maybe that gives you an insight on how the general public or the general audience for that specific work responds and like react to a specific piece of work.
I think that's usually the case for a lot of work, but comedy especially, I think that's one of the genres that's really hard to pin down. And when you think about your work, have you along the way like maybe tested some of the punchlines with some people? Do you like to maybe put your work before somebody before you go with it? Or you have just learned to be like, this works for me, I find it funny, let's go with it. I can imagine the process has changed, but how do you go about writing jokes?
There are definitely some jokes where I won't consult anyone with it. I'll just put it out. And that's sometimes okay. but there are definitely some jokes where, or comics where I will have someone read it. I try to not tell them anything. I just tell them, can I get your opinion on this? And a lot of my friends will be very familiar with this process, and they'll look at it and they'll read it, and then I'll ask them, can you explain the joke to me? And it's like a great way to kill a joke to have someone explain it to you. But I need to know exactly like how they interpret the joke and whether or not that's what I want or not. And the worst part is once they tell me or they read it and I have to make a change, I can't show it to them again because they're now in the nicest term. Well, it's not a nice term, in an unkind term, but I don't really have one for it. They're tainted, they're ruined now. They've read the thing. I need like fresh eyes on it, because reading it a second time, they go like, oh, I see, you made these changes because you wanted me to reach this conclusion. But that's not a natural way to read a comic. So I do have like a roster of people that I would like show a comic to, and then I'll make changes and I'll show it to someone else. And then ideally I would reach the specific end that I want. And that's the two ways that I make comics, one without people's input and one with.
And seeing people react to your stuff, I can imagine it can be interesting, both with the Halloween stuff and the more upbeat stuff. What are some of the reactions that are most memorable to you, and some that maybe surprised you that you haven't anticipated when you were creating the comics?
Especially with Halloween, I can't believe how smart some people are. And I think that's fine. I don't expect myself to be smarter than like 60,000 readers or potential readers. That's very arrogant to think that I can like outsmart everyone who follows me. I would like that to be the case, but that's not the case. There were some people definitely in the first few comics that I posted, they like kind of pointed out a bunch of things that I thought like, oh, well, they noticed a lot more than I thought they would have noticed. And it's a little disheartening, but it also makes me a little glad, because it means that there's people out there who are putting a lot of effort into my comics. And yeah, there are definitely comments out there where I just love the ones where people post up like all the clues and hints and possible explanation, only because like there are definitely some things in there that I would have not noticed. And I know that's weird to say because I made the comic, but usually when I go back and read them, like a few weeks or a few months, I'll maybe only see like 90% of the things I put in there. And the rest of it, I just completely do not see, or like I glaze over and I don't even remember putting them in there. And when I see like weird things that people pick up on, and I go like, did I put that in there? I'm not sure if I put that in there. I think I did. That looks really intentional. But so it makes me really happy to see people pouring so much effort, apparently more effort than I do, into like looking at these comics. Those are like some of the most satisfying comics. I also really love the ones where people immediately, like within the first minute of me posting the comic, just say like, I don't get it. Please someone help me. I empathize with that person, because that is exactly like how I am. There is another comic artist that actually pushed me into making these type of horror comics, Bex Comics. She does very similar horror stuff, and she has all the credit to why I do the horror comics that I do. And I am so bad at reading her work. Like, I will just immediately go to the comment section and go like, please, someone, please explain this to me. I don't understand anything.
I think that's, I also follow her, and I think her comics are great. And I can see the similarities, but also the different takes that you both have. And it's interesting really seeing that many people for both of your works basically asking for spoilers and just like, give it to me. I don't understand it, but I like it. And it's also great that like people are still, even though they aren't that good at deciphering it and understanding it, but they still want to be a part of it. And that's also cool.
Yeah. I know it's kind of hypocritical for me to say like, I don't want people's influences to be tainted by like the author or other people's opinion, but also saying, please tell me what this comic is about.
Yeah, wanted to ask you, is there on the other side, is there something that anybody or nobody has picked up on and you desperately wanted them to, but you don't want to spoil it for the people and you want them to make their own conclusions? Is there something that you were hoping somebody picks up on, but they just haven't yet?
There are a lot of things that people didn't pick up on. I'm not talking about just this year, in past few years as well. And I would say that is more my fault than theirs. There are definitely some really obscure clues that I've hidden where it takes a lot of effort to uncover them, but that's on me. And I would definitely say, like, if they interpret it without those clues and come up with whatever conclusion, that is completely valid. It is my job to make the work as concise as possible. And if people reach a different conclusion, that is completely fine. And it is out of my hand after I publish it. Like, there's nothing I could do.
Maybe that's,
but yes.
Yeah, maybe that's a good thing about creating that that layered work. You see it become something else that you haven't anticipated, and it has its own life.
Yeah, there were definitely a lot of theories that I thought like, oh, this is a really good theory. I like this more than what I intended. And I think that's beautiful, because that makes my work better without me actually having to make it better.
Yeah, people do perceive it in different ways, and I think that also is interesting seeing with like the rise of different platforms and the people actually engaging with work in that way. For me, I've discussed this with a couple of my guests, and I think that there is like this stance that people lack attention, that the attention spans are shortening each day, and they kind of are, but at the same time, you have people who are willing to invest the time to explore the stuff and like discover the clues and think about it. And for me, that's interesting seeing like people still, even though they have the options to just swipe through it, the people still latch onto it. I think that's also showing that, as you mentioned before, you could make just generic comics, but I think that this also implies that there is a staying power to it.
Yeah. I know that this type of horror comic is not for everyone. It's definitely not something I would ever willingly read myself, as weird as that sounds. But I think that also implies that there are more pieces of genres that people will be willing to latch onto and pour like a lot of time into each panel and just kind of use everything that they have to like understand it and like, I guess in a way, like interpret it in with their values. But I don't think there's enough work out there yet that's easily accessible. And I know it's a big risk for a lot of people to just do that kind of stuff because it's not going to have wide appeal. It's definitely not going to like get a lot of traction, and only a very few amount of people will actually like devote a lot of time to it. So it's a weird kind of balance to strike. Like, do I want to potentially make a piece of work that people really, really love, but it's only like maybe a handful of them? Or do I make something that has a wider appeal? But like, if you make the things that people really love, no one's going to find it because no one's going to read it. So it's definitely strange. There is a market for it, but it's really hard to, it's hard for readers to find that market.
And you said that this isn't the type of horror you maybe would have read on your own and maybe wouldn't gravitate to. So could you maybe, when you write it and create it, does that impact the way you do it? Do you manage to maybe scare yourself or surprise yourself? You've been doing it for a long time now, but do you find ways to, when you finish, end up with something that's kind of a surprise to you?
I wouldn't say it's so much of a surprise, only because of how much time I spend on it. And everything has to be pre-planned before. There's like very little room to alter things, and if I do, it's usually in a state of panic because I realize, oh no, this doesn't make sense. I have to like rewrite this entire comic. But I do find that if I had a choice, I would do kind of the more traditional horror comics where you create more reaction shots or like take time to build up things. But Instagram doesn't allow that because it has like a 10 picture limit. So I'm really just limited to like essentially 8 panels, one being the title card and one crediting my patrons. So I'm forced to do this like condensed kind of detective I spy game with horror.
And what are some titles or maybe some artists that do appeal to you in more of a traditional horror sense? Is there something of a, let's say, more classical or maybe old school influence or something that's more recent? What are some things that do click for you?
I guess like one of the more prominent webcomic artists who does horror right now would be Adam Tots. He makes fantastic horror comics, and they're done in like the traditional like comic book style. And I really love his work, but I know that he would have not been able to do those kind of work and be successful at it without having built up like a massive following. Because horror isn't for everyone, but at the same time, with a big enough audience, you will find enough people within that would enjoy it. Another person that I really enjoy, who puts in so much work into her work, is Hollowing Elk. She does fantastic horror comics as well. And there's just something so beautiful and haunting in the way that she draws her panels. And I really enjoyed those comics because they really take their time to like build up a mood or atmosphere that cannot be really like placed into like the Instagram format or most social media platform.
Yeah, that also makes sense. And talking about the following day, especially you mentioned with Adam that he already had before he went into that. But I think that's also maybe a transition point where you could maybe think about like working on something off Instagram. And I know that's like a big leap and it's not something I personally do, so I don't have a clue about the steps needed. But how would you go about, like, we started off basically with that, like creating something of a more long form or maybe traditional comic, not just a web comic. What would be like the next steps for that? Have you thought about like the approach you would take with that?
Yes, I have thought about it. I've also made a longer form horror that really takes its time, but it was formatted for phones, so there are like vertical panels that you would scroll up. I didn't enjoy that as much. I think a part of it was I didn't like the vertical format, and I think when coming to doing a more traditional horror comic, part of me has a hard time starting them only because I'm not sure which dimension and format it should be in. Like, how big should the page be? If I publish this, like print it out and like sell them, I need to think about that beforehand because I wouldn't want to like have to resize and reformat everything. And there's like a whole logistics behind just like how your comic is going to look, and that would influence like how your panels would be spaced out and how the story flows. A part of that's intimidating. That might be the part that I am lacking in terms of business, where maybe if I put more effort into it, I would know like, okay, this is a good size. It's like good to sell comics in this size and this format, and it's big enough that people can enjoy the art, but small enough that it's not like terrible to ship. So there's a lot of non-artistic side to making like a traditional horror comic that I don't really want to deal with.
It's understandable. And I have to ask, because we're fresh off the Halloween month, but we're still in that season where it's appropriate to talk horror. What are some of the, if you did watch some movies that you love for this season, and something that you, something that stood out for you in this past months or this year, maybe, is there something that you would recommend and something that you really carry from this year with you?
It's on Disney Plus. Not that Disney Plus is sponsoring this, but I think that's the only platform it's on. It is one of my... I have a lot of fears in life, and maybe that's why writing horror is easy for me. A lot of things scare me. And Barbarian especially is a movie that strikes one of my fears. I don't know how much people care about spoilers, but spoiler alert, don't listen for the next few minutes maybe. It's about people living inside of this Airbnb, unwitting to the renters, and I personally do look behind paintings and in closets for like secret doorways or like holes whenever I'm staying at an Airbnb, so it really strikes me in a way that feels familiar in a not good way. So that's definitely something that's gonna stick with me for a very long time, because I don't think I can go to an Airbnb and not feel more paranoid than usual.
Yeah, it's understandable for me. I also had real both fun and scares with it, and it's kind of a surprising thing that it takes such a wild turn in the middle of the movie that it feels like almost the movie's ending and you get a whole new perspective. I like that. I think that's something that's kind of missing from some titles, that surprise factor that you really couldn't predict where it's going, even though you could theorize what will happen. I think that's something that really few people could call as similar to some of your comics.
Oh, thank you. But yeah, I really like taking some good lessons from good horror movies and some great lessons from bad horror movies and try to apply that to my comics. Like the classic, don't show the monster. The imagination is scarier than whatever you could put on the screen. And you don't really learn that from good horror movies, but you definitely learn that from bad horror movies.
Definitely. And yeah, before I let you go, I wanted to ask, we've touched upon quite a few things, but what could we expect from you in the coming months, years, whatever you want to put the scope on? How many more Horrorweens are you planning to do? Could you shift in a different direction? Where do you see After Death Comics and your work as a whole going from now, from this point?
I definitely have Horrorween for next year written down. I'll probably start working on it in December. I have a whole bunch of other horror comics that I've been wanting to make for maybe about 2 years now. I just never had the time to do them, so I'll just try to put out a few of those. Other than that, like, I just planned on making more funny comics throughout the year, and then work on horror stuff for October and try to outsmart a lot of people, but probably fail. Maybe one day I will make a more interactive or like a horror piece that's not just comic format. Maybe it'll be like a multimedia format. It might be a video component to it, or like a kind of like a mini game that I just quickly whip up. I say quickly, but no, it'll honestly be like maybe a few months work. But yeah, like there's a lot of possibilities that I want to explore with horror. And I just really enjoy finding new ways to have people experience things that I find is scary.
That sounds great, and I'm looking forward to all of that, and maybe we'll even see a romance novel somewhere along the way.
Yes, definitely.
Well, Eddie, thank you so much for coming on. It's been a great talk, and I really do hope I'll see a bunch of more of your comics throughout the next months and years, and I wish you all the success with them.
Well, thank you so much for having me on your podcast. Sorry if I ramble on sometimes.
It was great.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Storyline Sessions podcast. I hope you enjoyed this talk. You can find Eddie on Instagram at After Death Comics, as well as a bunch of other places, so I'll put their link tree in the description. If you're interested in topics of creative writing and storytelling in any kind of medium, stick around, subscribe to this channel, and follow me on Instagram as well. My name is Marko Bogdanović, and I'll see you next week. Keep creating stories!